I'm a Yehuda. Some says Yehuda. The Maharal's name was Yehuda. Ben Ladoni, the son of my master. Avi, my father. Bitzalel. His father's name was Bitzalel. Zechrayne Lechaye Ha'olam Haba. So at the time he wrote the Sefer, his father had passed away. So in the middle of his Sefer, towards the end of the Sefer, he's introducing himself. So says Yehuda, the son of Bitzalel. Zechrayne Lechaye Ha'olam Haba. So he started something new. Hamitzvah Shekava Chacham Ma'ones. The Chacham instituted a mitzvah. And the mitzvah is to reenact the miracle. The losses Haida v'Shevach Amisha Asalan Ma'ones. So it's interesting. The Maharal is saying that when we light the Chanuk Menorah, it's different than any other mitzvah. I don't know if you caught this, but that's what he says. Any other mitzvah, Hashem wants us to do a certain act, and we do it, and then it got done, and he's happy. And that's what mitzvahs are all about. But he said, Chanukah, the mitzvah of Chanukah is not a mitzvah that we do. It's not a mitzvah that we do. He said that when you light the Chanukah lights, it's an act of praise. You can praise God with your mouth and say, praise the Lord. And we do that, and we say, hallel, during Hanukkah. And we say, al nisim, during Hanukkah. And we sing during Hanukkah. It's kedei lehoidais, lehallel, leshabeach. And he says that lighting the candle is hallel. We're praising God with our bodies. Now there is a parallel to this. There is another time when we do this. Could you, venture a guess? Could you give me another time when we pray with our bodies? Lulav. You're shaking to the north, you're shaking to the south, you do shaky all around, That's a wordless prayer. God, I'm saying, you're not that far off, because I'm Purim. The Gemara asks, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? We say Hallel on Purim. And the Gemara says that reading the Megillah is Hallel. So you're not that far off. That Purim and Chanukah both have things that are Hallel that are not Hallel. So Purim has Kriyas Megillah, which is Hallel, because we're saying over the story of the Purim miracles, you're praising God. And Chanukah, by lighting the candle, the reason why you're lighting is because it's an act of praise. I'm praising God. People see me doing it, I'm praising God. So it's Hallel. It's good that there's no monopoly on this, and something being something else. Everything gets... I'm Pesach night. We say Hallel twice. Right from, after Shul. If in America, those that daven Nusach Svard, they say Hallel after Maariv, before you go home for the Pesach Seder. And those that daven Nusach Ashkenaz, don't do it at all. And in Eretz Yisrael, everyone does it. Besides that, you say a better Seder. And during the Seder, you split it up. You say part of Hallel in the first part of the Seder, and then you finish it off after the meal. You're supposed to stand each morning, you say Hallel. There's certain halachas about Hallel. Where's the Hallel supposed to be in the day? And those that daven Nusach Ashkenaz, they only say Hallel during the day. Of course, if you daven Nusach Svad, you say it at night, because you say it in Shul. But since I daven Nusach Ashkenaz, I'm not a chori for that. But Hallel is supposed to be said during the day. And you say it at night in the Seder. Because Hallel is, in the Seder is not Hallel. It's Magid. You're not praising God. Right, yeah. Well, that is Nirtza. Right, so that's praising. The part after is part of the praises, correct, Josh? But the part Magid is Magid, which you're telling over the story, and part of telling over the story is saying words of praise, because it also tells a story. So it's interesting, because on Pesach you have Hallel, which is not Hallel, it's Magid. On Purim you have Kriyas Megillah, which is not Kriyas Megillah, it's Hallel. So sometimes Hallel is Magid, sometimes Kriyas Megillah is Hallel, and then a Chanukah of lighting the candles, which is Hallel, which is very interesting. Chazal, they made a takana to Rabbanan. They made a mitzvah, and they made a mitzvah unlike any other mitzvah, because any other mitzvah that mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah that Chazal make is because it's good to do this, so do it. And the purpose of all mitzvahs is to do this. The mitzvahs in the Torah, this is the wisdom of God. This is wise. Do the mitzvah. And this mitzvah on Chanukah, the reason why Chazal made the mitzvah is because by doing it, you're praising God, and you're giving thanks to God. So lighting the candles, lighting the lights is thanking God. That's what it is. And you can't do it. You're not allowed to use the light. So it's different than Shabbos candles. When you light Shabbos candles, you're doing a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is to make light. The mitzvah is that you should have a house filled with light on Shabbos, and you enjoy the light. And under certain circumstances, you could use the light. So the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles is to create light, because light is important. Light, you know, is a benefit to light, and you're doing it for the benefit. But on Hanukkah, you're not allowed to enjoy the light. So what's the point? You can't read by the light of the Hanukkah. You can't do anything by the light. You can't. So what's the point? There is no point. The point is not to light up the room. The point is to praise God. And if you use the light, then the halakha has become clear. If you use the light, then you're taking away from that. You're not lighting in order for it to be used. You're lighting because the light is a praise for God. The word halal means light. How do I know that? We say, Mimizach Shemesh Ad Mevaya, the sun shines. When it comes, Mahulo Shem Hashem. So too God's name is lit up. If the word Mahul doesn't mean light, then that pasuk doesn't make any sense. We're comparing the light of the sun to the Hillel of God. Mimizrach, Shem Hashem Mevayah, the sun shines, Mahul Hashem Hashem. God's name also lights up. There's also a pasuk in Yeshaya, Behilei Nerei Alai Reishi, that is the light of his candle on my head. Behilo Nero Alai Roshi. So it makes sense, yeah. Because halal lights up. And so do candles. So when you're lighting a candle, when you're lighting the light, you're lighting a halal, because the word halal means light. So your mouth is being a halal. So Roy Shatianasa Bishlamas Agamas. So if that's what it is, so it should be Bishlamas. And this is the Maral's observation. If you're lighting a candle because of light, so then what kind of light are you going to light? The kind that provides the best light. But if that's not your purpose, if your purpose is not to light up the room so you can see, so then there's other requirements that you should be marked with on. God performed wonders. You're supposed to do it in the best way possible. There shouldn't be anything missing from the shleimus of the mitzvah. And don't just do a b'di'evid. You're not just lighting up the room. That's not what you're doing. You're not just turning on a light. Your act is an act of praise. Acts of praise have to be shalim. You have to be sincere when you're praising God. You have to say everything that you possibly could say to praise God. You don't want to leave anything out. Acts of praise. If you're just turning on a light, okay, so you turn on a light. Some lights are better, some lights are worse. You got light, be happy. At one time, someone gave us a gift. We didn't even buy it. Someone gave us a gift, a fancy box of chocolates. The box was gorgeous, I must tell you. Pictures with individually wrapped chocolates. We didn't believe there was such a thing. This is a long time ago. Gorgeous. And we opened up the box, and there's a solid sheet of chocolate inside. No individually wrapped, nothing. Nothing. Just a block of chocolate, straight. Crazy. And we got it as a gift, so we didn't pay for it. And we couldn't even return it to the store. We just spent the whole night trying to make the people feel better. They shouldn't feel bad. Oh, we like it. It's the best thing. We've always wanted it. We've never had such a thing. Don't worry. Yeah, it's going to be so much better. Yeah, we did that. But then after they left, on the box, it was written, any complaints, there's a phone number. We said, oh, we have to call them. They want us to call. My wife called. And they said, do you see where it says how many ounces are in the box? And she said, yeah. I said, what's this? She said, there's a black magic marker line going through it. I said, that's right, because since we didn't put in the individually wrapped chocolate, we put in more ounces of the regular chocolate to compensate. Okay? This is a true story. Okay? And she said, but that's not what the picture advertises. And they said, Gevarit, if you're going to yell at us, I'm going to hang up on you. And she said, giving extra ounces of chocolate, it's a black shade of chocolate. They said, Gevarit, Kibal chocolate? What are you complaining about? And that was the end of the conversation. It was like, what? So if you have a mitzvah to turn on a light, so you turn on a light. You got light, be happy. But the mitzvah of Hanukkah is not to turn on a light. The mitzvah of Hanukkah is the way, I hope this point is clear. The mitzvah of Hanukkah is it's an act of praise. Acts of praise are not good enough to just turn on a light. You have to put meaning into it. You have to put feeling into it. You're not just trying to make the room light up. You want to make the room light up. And Rabbi, if it's lit up already, you don't even have to do anything. You know, if you could see, you only do it because you have a need. And if it suffices, the people that they backbend on Shabbos, up here Pesach the Chazanish, that they don't use electricity on Shabbos, even if they turned it on before Shabbos. I mean, obviously, even if they turned it on before Shabbos. The Chazanish Paskin, that up here did. Because the electric company's things are done there, and you can't guarantee it's done by non-Jews, and if something goes wrong, then it could be fixed in the middle of Shabbos. There's enough chashashas. But what they will do is that, let's say you have a light from a candle on the table. Let's say you have the candelabra on the table, and then there's an electric light. They'll sit by the table, because even if the light wouldn't be there, the candlelight would be enough for them to eat and for them to learn. It's enough. So even though the electric light gives you more light, as long as you have sufficient light to do whatever you need to do, so that's called having hanah from the Maisa Shabbos. You need light, so you have light, a better light, a worse light, you have enough light. It's Rosh Hashanah Maisa. We went on the Bnei Brak Shabbaton. Shabbos was 8 o'clock in the hotel. And there was enough light coming through the window, so we go down there, and then the help comes along, and they see that the lights aren't on, they flip the light switch on so we could see better. Right, there's many reasons to be matter in such a case. But one of the heterim is that we were able to see even before they came along. That's one of the heterim. But look them around, that's not why we light. We're not lighting in order to light something up. We're lighting because we praise. When you're lighting because you praise, then there's no limit to how much you put into the lighting. When your lighting is a praise, you take, you know, the rebbes, the way they miyachad yichudim, when they do the wicks. It's such a beautiful thing to see. You should go to Bell's this year and see it. Yeah, they do the wicks, and the kavanas that they're putting into, yes, Josh, he knows about this. The kavanas you put into the wicks, and then the shaman zayis zach, and and the beautiful menorahs, it's an act of praise. It's not an act of lighting. When the Kirishi Dvam Shannon Eigim, he looked around, he looked at people. People, you know, the way they light Hanukkah menorahs, Vayim Tzemuyim Elei. I don't understand how they could light a Hanukkah menorah like that. Yes, this guy is some. You have to do something about it. Vayisha Chacham Vanavad Medaktav Vimitzvahs. He's binding. I said, Shayin Eolai, if you're. If you understand, if you're wise, and you have understanding, and you're medaka mitzvah, you have to understand this, and you have to choose the proper path. So this is the chayrus, this is something that was bothering, it was disturbing the morale. He's in the middle of writing this deep sefer with all these sides, and then he says, my name is Yehuda, the son of Bezalel, Zichro Rabban. And there's something I have to talk about. We got to talk about this. You're not lighting right. So I felt there's a very strong kesher to Maral. He's talking personally to us. Until now, you don't see the Maral's name here. You don't see, it's a sefer. But this is a personal thing, and we can manage to take it to heart. So he says, Ha'echad, he has a list of things. Number one. He brings Masharaiva Olam, the majority of the world. Naigim are accustomed, Lassus Nerishal Shava, Lahadlik Ben. They light with wax candles. Tells Yeshiva, it makes a lot of money that they send out candles to the whole United States. There's almost no bias that you don't get the box of candles before Hanukkah from Tel Yeshiva and send a nice check back. So the Rav Island, they light with candles. And they light with candles. And the Ramah says, V'nayigim b'medina seilu. The Ramah was in Krakow, he was in Poland. We were there. L'hadlik b'neir shal shava. Simon tafer shayin gimel. Ki oirat tzolah k'may shemen. Because the wax candles, the light is pure and clear, just like oil. So the part is that if you light out of fats like chaylev and inferior fuel, so then the light flickers. So don't do that light with olive oil. But the candles, the wax candles which they had in those days, had a pure flame. It was a pure flame. So why not? So the way the Ramah is touching it up, as long as the flame is pure, so it's a cover for the mitzvah. And the Maral is coming out against it. He said, Chutz b'naisim ha-medakdim v'l'hadak v'shem tzayis. There are those, a minority, that they're makbid to light with olive oil. Why? Because it commemorates the nace which was done in the Beis HaMikdash. That was done with oil, so this is done with oil. So Maral says, first of all, you shouldn't, you know, he's going to explain why. It's not appropriate to light with candles. And second of all, even the ones that light with oil, they're lighting with oil for the wrong reason. They're lighting with oil because they want it to be like it was in the Beis HaMikdash. He said that's not the reason why. You know, they have these things, they're really cool. They're candles made of olive oil. Have you seen them? They mix paraffin in. And then it solidifies in the gels. And it's like a little candle, a little round disc with a wick sticking out of it. You put it into the glass cup there. You light it. And in about 20 minutes, you have a glass filled with olive oil.
That's cool.
It is very cool. It's a lot easier than setting up wicks and putting it through these metal cylinders and lighting it. And it burns very nicely. And they have it. So if you're lighting with olive oil, because it's Zechlanes, so it's just as legitimate to light with those things. And you can get them. They have them for Hanukkah also, because it's olive oil. So you can see what's bothering the Maral about this, it's not the fuel that's bothering him. He says, Kalafia Nira, he said, the way I see things, should puzzle near Hanukkah Lagami. Candles should be puzzled. Completely. Why? Because the takana is to light in there. And we make a bracha. What's the bracha? Lahadlik?
Ner.
Ner. Hanukkah. Now who's the one that said that a ner is a candle? Do you know? What's a ner?
Light.
A ner is a lantern. A candle is not an air. That's called a misnomer. A candle is not an air. An air is the lantern that you put the oil into. The lantern that the genies come out of, you know. Lampele. And then you put oil in there. There's a lid on it. There's a hole in the lid. You put a wick in there. And that metal genie lamp thing, that's an air. And the oil, that's called shemen. And the wick is called a psila. Psil tcheles. Psila. Nail, ner, psila, shemen. What does it spell?
What?
The Rosh Hashanah.
Nefesh.
Nefesh. That's right. When you take wax and you put it, you know, you wrap it around a wick, that's not called a nair. Or chela, we take fats. So you wrap around a wick. That's not a nair. That's an avuka. An avuka is a torch. And torch is a puzzle. No, you can't use it. You can't use a Havdalah candle for kind of. It's a torch. The Maharal said even a single candle. A Havdalah candle is like 3 wicks. It can be 6 wicks. It can be 2 wicks. A torch. So the Maharal has... This halacha l'maisa, you can use candles, please. This, you know, this is not a halacha share. He's trashing candles. We're going to learn a lot from it. But if you want to use a candle, use a lachat kula. It's not a lachat. You know, the Ramah paskins, you can use it. We paskin like the Ramah. We don't paskin like the Maral in Pesach Halacha. But we have a lot. We're going to learn a lot from this. He said a candle or candles is an avuk, is a torch. Now, lachat l'maisa, a torch is only something with two or more wicks. The Maral is extending this to anything that's not a lantern. Okay. He's going to explain why. He brings a Gemara on Shabbos. He filled up a bowl or a dish with oil, and then you put a bunch of wicks there, a bunch of floating wicks. Those floating wicks should be banned. They're kamikaze. They just go under and die. And when you know, some menorahs, they have a little seichel. They have glass cups. But the cheap ones, somebody's saving money, they have the plastic cups. Now, with the plastic cups is a cylinder you're supposed to put in the plastic cup, and it fits snugly in the bottom of the cup. It doesn't move right or left. And you put the wick that's provided in there, it also stays in the center of the cup, doesn't go right or left. And if you're lucky, it'll burn, stay in the middle, and you'll be fine. You have these chachamim. They don't want to buy the cylinders. They don't want to buy the wicks. It's too expensive. It's too much for them. So they get the kamikaze floating wick. They put it in the plastic cups. It burns very nicely for the first 10 minutes. Then it goes and does a nosedive. And then it melts the entire cup. I've seen this issue. The next night, the guy uses the half-melted cup and does it again. And every night they get shorter and shorter and shorter. And they can ignite the whole thing. So you filled a dish with oil. You put in a bunch of wicks, and then you covered the wicks with a dish. And there's holes in the dish, so the wicks they peek out. You know, so you got the bowl of oil, you got the wicks floating around there. Got your floating wicks there. Then you have a dish over, and there's holes in the dish, and they peek out. So if you have 10 wicks, 10 people can be 8 to the mitzvah. Each one gets one of the wicks. Like Hoffa, like, hey, what if you didn't put a dish on top and the wicks are just floating around? It's like a menorah. It's like a bonfire. Because when you don't have a dish over the wicks and with the hole in there to separate the wicks, so then the fires, they tend to, you know, it's interesting. Fire is... They attract each other. And you have a wick over here and a wick over there, and they go towards each other and try to meet in the middle. That's a menorah. And nobody's answer with that. He said, because the nace was done with a lantern. And the lantern had a hole for the wick. And this is not a lantern. Because you have many wicks that they're coming together. And the miracle wasn't like that. The miracle was with the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. There was each branch of the menorah had a cup of oil, and then there was a wick coming out, and there was, you know, it was separate from the other wicks, and the fires didn't come together with each other. So he said the same reason he makes it too still. That anything that's not the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash is not a nair. It's an avuka. So he said when you use a candle, it's not an air, it's an avuka. He's going to explain why. He's going to go through the physical differences. The fianir to be puzzle. He brings a right. He brings a medrash. And this is a medrash. It's a medrash rabba, and it's also gemara, mesechet pesachim. I'm trying to picture, trying to portray to us what's going to look like when Olam Haba and the Tzaddikim are going to be standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Lashon of the Medrash is, Daimer Ma Tzaddikim Lifnei Hashchina, Tzaddikim standing in front of the Shechina is Kiner Lifnei Hu Avuka. It's like a Ner in front of an Avuka. So you see that a Ner is an Avuka, and Avuka, they're not the same thing. If a Tzaddik is like a Ner, and the Shechina is like an Avuka, so a Ner is not an Avuka, and Avuka is not a Ner. So Tzaddik's like a...
Avuka's candle?
Avuka is a candle or a torch. Okay. Because Tzaddikim... Why are you calling Tzaddikim a Ner? If a Ner is a candle, you said there's no reason to call a Tzaddik a candle. Tzaddik is called a Ner because he has a clear neshama. Tzaddik is a special neshama. It's clear. It's not complex. There's no doubts. Tzaddik has no doubts in his neshama. He can see. He understands. He has a clarity. So a lantern also has clarity in it.
Ner mitzvah Torah.
Kiner mitzvah Torah. Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam. Tzatzai Mishlei. So you call the neshama a Ner. The neshama is a Ner. Ve'en the neshama sh'or sh'mekabel l'guf m'malo. The neshama is like the light that connects itself to the guf. She'latzos b'chol ha'guf. The relationship between the neshama and the guf is the neshama does not have a total relationship with the guf. If the neshama would have a total relationship with the guf, what kind of people would we be? Yeah. The reason why we are what we are is because there's parts of our guf that the neshama is not, does not relate with. The neshama can't do an avera. So how does a person do an avera? There's a part of his body that is not connected to the neshama. The guf is a keli for the neshama. The neshama fills the guf. And the guf is a keli for the neshama. The guf is makabel in the neshama. So the guf's like a Ner. Well, also that he talks about the basic difference between a lantern and a candle. Let's start with the candle. The candle, the fire, burns everything. It burns the wick, and the fire burns the wax, and there's nothing stopping it from doing it. There's no mechitza. There's no guard. There's nothing keeping the fire away from any of the parts of the candle. It's just a matter of time. It's a very uncomplicated device, a candle. So the fire is there, and immediately it starts consuming the wick, and immediately it starts consuming the wax. And then when it consumes it, it goes weiter, and it consumes more wick and more wicks. A lantern, the fire's on the outside of the lantern. The inside of the lantern, the fire doesn't have access to the inside of the lantern. The oil inside, it also doesn't have any access to the oil inside the lantern. The fire draws up oil through the wick, and the wick goes from inside the lantern to outside the lantern, goes out the hole, so the small amount of the wick that's hanging outside of the lantern, it's open. You know, it's open, it's vulnerable to the fire. And the fire burns up whatever oil is in that little bit outside of the lantern, and then it draws more in and more in and more in until it's empty. And when it's empty, the fire doesn't go in there at all, it just goes out.
The wick stays.
You know, you can use it again. It doesn't consume the whole wick. Because there's a keli, there's a keli that separates the fire on the outside from what's on the inside. So he explains the Gemara that the relationship between the neshama and the guf, it's possible to have a fire. It's a part of you. It's possible to have a fire that's a part of you, and it doesn't burn you up, which is good. Because getting burnt up is not good. Not getting burnt up is good. If Hashem would make us in a way that the neshama had direct access to the body without anything in between, our bodies would be destroyed the moment they were created. It's something which we have to know about ourselves. Hashem did us a chesed, that He created us the way that we don't have this direct relationship with the neshama. The neshama is connected to us, but the connection of the neshama to our bodies is similar to the connection of that little bit of wick outside the lantern and what's in the lantern. Yes, there is a connection, because it's the lantern that's holding the oil. If you wouldn't have a lantern to hold the oil, there would be no fire. And it's the oil that's being drawn up through the wick to the outside. But the fire is still on the outside. So the fire has a shaykhus to the oil, it has a shaykhus to the lantern, but the shaykhus is done in a way that there's a chatzitza, there's a mechitza of a lid of the keli to stop the fire from going in and burning up everything inside. And now this is a mashal b'yama, but he's telling you a davar amak ma'id. That there's no way that the soul could tolerate the body. And we're saying in very simple terms now. There's no way that the soul could tolerate the body. And if there's a war between the body and the soul, you know, the body will come apart. You know, the body cannot exist in the presence of the soul. It's a Gemara Mesechta Shabbos when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. And the Malachim, they knew why he came. They knew he came to bring down the Torah. And Hashem told Moshe, go answer them. Explain to the Malachim why you're going to come out with the Torah. And Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm afraid. He was afraid to be debate the Malachim. And he said, Shema Yisrafuni Behav Al Piyim. They're going to burn me up with the hot air that comes out of their mouths. So Hashem said, hold on to my kisei, I cover it, I'll protect you.
What does that mean?
Because Malachim are pure expressions of God's will. God wants them to be, and they are exactly what He wants them to be. And they can't make choices. They can't make bad choices. Anytime you find a chazal that a malach made a bad choice, it's because Hashem created him and instructed him to make that bad choice. Hashem told the malach, He's created a malach, and He told the malach, your job is to make a bad choice. They can't make it on their own. The only reason why human beings could do that is because we have a body. And the body is a special creation. It's a miracle of creation. It's like the most paladika thing. The body gives us a sense of independence, because when we view our body, the very nature of the body tells us that we are independent. And we can do what we want, if we so choose. All right. Now, what we want is not only smart, but we can do what we want. And we can be independent. The soul or Malachim, they don't tolerate that. They can't accept that. The malach is Ratzon Hashem. If a human being, like Moshe, even Moshe Rabbeinu, goes up there with a body, he went up to Shemayim with his body, somehow or another he did it. So he's going up there with something that has the ability of disobeying God, of making a choice, of being independent, of not being totally dependent on God. The malachim, they don't tolerate that. That can't be allowed to exist. The malach's very being is, he is exactly what Hashem wants him to be. The guf's very being is, he's whatever the person chooses to be. They don't get along. And if a malach is only what Hashem wants him to be, he's also dedicated, and everything else should also be that way. So anything which has its own independence has to be eliminated. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. We have a neshama. The neshama has the same characteristic as a malach. Our neshama does not allow our body to exist. We're just starting on this topic, but our neshama, if we have direct access to our bodies, it would not allow the body to exist, because the body existing means it screams out, it cries out that I'm not connected to God. I only do what He says because I want to. I don't have to. I'm my own person. I'm my own God. That's what we're really saying. I'm my own God. And the neshama is screaming out, no, 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 you're wrong. It just looks that way, but it's not. And you really don't have the choice. You really don't. You can't. Nothing can exist outside of God. Nothing can. And the neshama would destroy the body. The body would cease to exist. Because Baruch Hu would create a body and a soul and put them together without anything in between them, that creation wouldn't last a moment. It would be burnt up in the Hevel Peh. Oh, neshama. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't do it like that. Hashem creates a... Neshama does not relate to the body directly. It relates to the body in stages. That's but HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the Shekhinah, doesn't work like that. The Shekhinah, you can't just make. The neshama is not God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take a neshama, can take a goof, and can put some kind of division between them. But the neshama is not God. I mean, the mashal God, the fire of God is so hot that no mechitza could contain it. If you'd have a lantern, and we could only talk about these things with Mishalom, you understand it? If you'd have a lantern, very strong lantern, made by a strong genie, you have oil in there, you have a wick coming out to the outside, sticking out a little bit, and then you put a fire of God, the fire of God on that wick, the material of the lantern would not be strong enough to protect the lantern or what's inside. Everything would be consumed. So he said that's the big nafkamina. I mean, it explains a lot about the world. That we are conscious of our neshamas. The neshama interacts in this world in a very revealed manner. I mean, no one's ever seen the neshama, but we all know we have one. And we've all seen evidence of it. And we've seen people that we could tell they have big neshamas and holy neshamas. And you can see people with a lot of they don't have such holy neshamas. The neshama is connected to this world because it could be connected to this world. Why could the neshama be connected to this world? Because it's possible to create a series of steps that the neshama doesn't totally destroy this world. Because the neshama is not God. So I said, because the neshama is not so hot, that's why I could have a connection with the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's hot. He's really hot. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is not seen in this world at all. Cut that. We have more contact with the neshama than we have with God. Real contact with the neshama than we have with God. It's a fact. So that's shot in the Gemara. That the tzaddikim in front of God are like a nair in front of an avuka. Because an avuka, the fire, there's nothing stopping that fire from burning the wax and the candle. If the fire is there, it's all going to get consumed. So you don't want the candle to burn. There's only one way. Keep the fire away. Don't light the candle. Then keep the fire away. Because if the fire lights the candle, nothing's going to stop it from burning up every part of that candle. The wick, it's all going to go. So the fire has to be somewhere else. Tzaddikim are not, they're not like that. They could have fire. And the fire could have something to do with their body. And you have a system. You have a body. You have some way of connecting to the neshama. It's a distant relationship. It's not a direct relationship. The neshama is connected to the ruach. The ruach is connected to the nefesh. The nefesh is connected to the guf. That's not what I'll say. It's a series of links. The neshama is not... If the neshama would be directly connected with the body, you would never be able to have a body. If the neshama would be connected to the body, you wouldn't be able to have a bechira. Everything would be that clear. So the tzaddik's like a ner. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is like a medura. He's like a fire. That's why we could have the neshama in this world. Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, there would be no world if a Kadosh Baruch Hu would be revealed in this world. And that's why he hides himself. The neshama is not hidden. The neshama we know. So the male is up to morale, a pialocha. I'm just saying, a pialocha. I hope this is clear. Is it clear? Am I being clear? Good. Okay, Chaim said yes. So male is up to morale. If that's found in the Gemara, so how could you lie with a candle? The candle's not in there. And then you have to light with something which is similar to the relationship between the guf and the neshama. It's an act of praise.
So why don't we pass on like him?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he doesn't.
He does pass on.
I'm sure you light oil.
Yeah.
Sure, that's all you do. So he's saying that this is Mamash Amari Dikazak. We're coming to come full circle. It's not a mitzvah to bring light. You want to bring light, a candle's also good enough. It's not going to get consumed, and at least you'll have 45 minutes. You have to be careful with these things. The boxes of candles that you get from Tal Yeshiva, they last about 30 minutes, maybe.
About.
You really need to get the longer candles. The morale says that when we light the candles, it's not a mitzvah bringing light. It's praise. This is our way of praising, which means that the menorah is a person. You have what I'm saying? If lighting the menorah is an act of shevach and haidah, that the menorah is praising. How could a menorah praise? The Torah says the menorah is a person. People praise. There's a person. What do we say about a lulav? A lulav, who said that to a lulav? Who's the one that said, you said lulav? Okay. A lulav praises, right? How can a lulav praise? It's a piece of date palm.
Shit.
No, it's not. You know what a lulav is?
Willow.
It's a, no. A lulav is a backbone. And that dasim are eyes. And the rub is a lips. And the eshek is a heart. When you take a heart with eyes and a backbone, lips, what do you get? You put it all together, what do you get? You get a person. Right. Because I'll say that a lulav is a person. It has a heart, it sees, it talks, it eats. You cop that?
Imagine if we told a non-Jew that the thing was shaking as a person. Like that tree branch.
Well, I hope that he freaks out and runs out and never asks you any questions again. That's
the
thing.
We're shaking a person, we're lighting a person.
Right. The menorah is a person, and it's praising God. And because it has a goof.
I'm going to light Mikey this
And time. It has a neshama, and it has something in between, which joins the goof and the neshama. It has the flame, it's got the wick, it's got the oil. Right, that's Ner, Psila, Shaman. There's the fire. It's got all the parts. Ner, Psila, Shaman, it's Nefesh. So he says you have to use a lantern with oil and a wick. Can't use a candle. How can people use candles? Palazzo. Palazzo. It's a person. Menorah is a person. It represents you. But it represents you. It has parts. It has the makeup of what it is that it can faithfully represent you because it has the same components that you do. It's got fuel. It's got a place to store the fuel. It's got a way of drawing the fuel. And then there's a fire. But the fire is on the outside. If the fire would be on the inside, then the menorah would be destroyed.